Welcome to episode 7 of the Nostalgia Mixtape, a podcast that celebrates all things that give us nostalgic feels from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, as well as new pop culture events with a throwback twist. I'm your host, Ty Gooden.
Hi everyone, it's Christina. Hope y'all are having a fantastic week.
I am having a fantastic week. Are you having a great week?
You know, it's an okay week. You know, I can't complain too much. I have quite a few days off, so I'm going to enjoy them and get some cleaning done. And yeah, good things.
Plotting, I mean, it's still early, too, so it's Monday. So it's still got some more time for things to either go great or wrong, which we're not gonna speak the wrong. It's gonna go great.
Right.
It's gonna be a good week.
I'm gonna make it a good week because the weekend was rough, but it's gonna be a good week.
Good week.
I'm claiming it now.
Woo-hoo. Well, today we're gonna be talking about I'm gonna kind of narrow our scope a little bit. I know the past few episodes we've kind of been doing some broad and general things where we may talk about a decade of movies or a certain genre of music or something. We're going to talk about one specific topic today, and it is Saved by the Bell, which makes both of us very excited because we both grew up watching Saved by the Bell, and there's just a lot of funny and hilarious things to kind of talk about it, but we'll get into all of that. But before we get into the episode today, please make sure you follow us on all the socials, guys. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Nostalgia Mix Pod. And you can also keep the conversation going with us with hashtag Nostalgia Mix Pod if you have any reactions to what we're saying or if you want to add in some additional thoughts. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, rate our podcast. Thank you guys so much for the ratings that we've gotten so far. I have looked at the ones on iTunes, and so far it's been good stuff, good things. So we're happy about that.
We got a lot of 5-star ratings, so shout out to you guys who have been giving us the 5 stars. We appreciate you for doing that.
Yay. And it's encouraging because it makes us want to keep going and hopefully, you know, continue to build our listenership. And hopefully you guys will tell other people and they'll tell a friend and they'll tell a friend, and we can kind of grow and be able to do more cool things in the future. So thank you guys a whole lot for that. We can also be found on Podbean and on our WordPress page at nostalgiamixpod.wordpress.com. Before we get into today's nostalgia recap, I've got a little news for you guys. So, as some of you may know, was it last year when BET did the New Edition miniseries?
Yeah, I think it was the beginning of last year.
Yeah, I felt like it was a long time ago, but okay. So now they're coming back again and they are doing a Bobby Brown movie. A lot of people were kind of demanding it and wanting to see it. I was definitely one of those people because I love Bobby Brown. I love his music. I love him as a person. He's been through so much and so glad he's still around, but they're doing the movie on September the 4th and the 5th, and I am going to be participating in the inevitable Black Twitter live tweet, because you know we got the live tweet Bobby Brown.
We got to live tweet everything.
We got to live tweet everything, especially Bobby Brown. A Bobby Brown movie? You know it's going down. So I'm going to be around. I'll be using whatever official hashtag that BET comes up with. More than likely, I think it's like Bobby Brown BET or something like that. And I'll also be attaching the Nostalgia Mix Pod hashtag. So as we kind of get a little bit closer to it or whatever, I might be tweeting out some random facts about Bobby and his career. I have read his autobiography. And if there are any of you guys out there that have read it as well, talk to me on Twitter about it, because there's a lot to talk about. And it's just, I mean,
this is about to be a mess.
It's gonna be so messy.
But I'm here for it.
But you know, it's also so many parts of his autobiography, and I know I've talked about some of the funnier things before, but there are some parts that are a little bit darker and a little bit more sad. And so I'm kind of interested to see how they're going to balance that, if they're really even going to talk that much about his childhood at all, or if they're just going to kind of focus on, you know, that really great run that he had when he broke off and, you know, did his solo thing and everything. So we'll just kind of see what they do. I haven't really seen too much as far as trailers out there or anything. They've had a couple of small video clips.
I haven't seen anything about it.
Yeah, you know.
Or I've seen a couple set pictures of, like, the guy playing Bobby Brown, Woody McClain, like, with the Whitney character.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were, like, out to eat or something, but that's, like, literally all that I have seen. They are very hush-hush. So I'm, like, the quieter that they are about it, the more excited I am about it, to be perfectly honest. Like,
that's how I feel about, like, a lot of things in general. I like a little bit of the mystery and stuff. Like, I just, I'm not a spoilery person or a person that feels like I need to see 50 trailers and know everything. So I kind of like the idea that I'm going into it not really knowing a whole lot about what they're going to cover. And then I'm going to be really interested too to kind of see how it lines up with what he said in his autobiography. So I'll definitely be tweeting about that. You guys join in. I know you'll be around. If you're not following us already, you know, definitely give us a follow. If you see us getting retweeted or anything out there, you know, always holler at me. Test my Bobby Brown knowledge. I've got a lot randomly floating in my head. It's one of the things that I probably shouldn't focus on so much, but I do. So
the stories that I keep hearing of this biography from you, like, makes me want to read it because I just... you know, I try to keep my life drama free, but every now and again, like, you just have to, you know, enjoy somebody else's mess. And it sounds messy. Like, his autobiography sounds messy and delicious and wonderful. And I'm sure the movie is going to be, like, in the same vibe of just an absolute catastrophe in the best way. I wonder if they're going to put... So somebody did, like, a thread this week of, like, VMA performances. Mm-hmm. And they did the one of Bobby Brown where, like, he had some drugs fall out of his pocket.
Yes, and he just burst down his scoop.
And I really want that to be in the movie.
I love it. I love that video clip so much. I mean, he bounced across the stage, skipping, and the drugs just go bloop. And he just reached down and picked it up and did, like, a little spin move.
And kept on dancing. And kept it right on moving.
How can you not love Bobby Brown, man? I mean, he just
such a hot mess.
The fact that Bobby is just, like, still with us right now after all the wild things that he's, like, done and been through is just a miracle within itself.
It really is.
Oh my, like, God.
It really is.
Bobby's life is just the best. I love his life, man. Well, gonna move on to our nostalgia recap. So, Christina, what do you have for us this week?
I mean, I guess the biggest thing for me is the unfortunate passing. And I don't actually want to say unfortunate. I actually want to make this more of a celebration. But, you know, we lost Aretha Franklin this weekend.
Right.
And it made me... I kind of had to nope off the internet for a few hours because I was like, I see where this is going. And I'm not necessarily trying to be sad. But, you know, I felt it. I listened to some of her music. And I am... more than anything, grateful that she existed and that, you know, her music has stood the test of time and her voice was just like no other. Like nobody that came before her, like nobody that will come after her.
Yep.
And I'm just kind of thankful that, you know, for her presence on this earth, you know, God was like, hey, I would like to bring her back home. And that's what he did. And I don't want to be sad about it. I want to celebrate the fact that, you know, I lived in a time when Aretha Franklin did. I was, you know, able to see her on TV. Never seen her in concert or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to have her music and to have her performances on TV and, like, even some of her older performances. I saw one of her and, like, Smokey Robinson singing Ooh Baby Baby.
Oh, wow.
Like, and she was playing piano and, you know, she trained herself to play piano by ear. Like, she wasn't taught. She did it all by herself. Which is incredibly impressive. And so you see her a couple years ago, she was at the Kennedy Honors honoring Carol King, and she did
Shut It Down
and played the piano. Yeah. And, like, just absolutely fantastic, still out there kicking, still out there singing, still out there looking fabulous. My favorite performance of hers is when she was doing Rolling in the Deep and something else. It was like a mashup of two songs. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the other song was. And she had Sissy Houston singing background, and Sissy just looked like, why you pull me out here? Sissy was back in the back looking like, if you don't get me off this TV. And Aretha was up there killing it. So, like, I just want to celebrate the fact that, you know, celebrate her life, her legacy, her music, her, you know, just her entire life. And that's pretty much all I got this week, because that was kind of the biggest thing that rocked me a little bit. But again, just thankful to be living at the same time that, like, some of these greats are alive.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of sad too, because you feel like we're just, you know, losing so many people. You know, you think about Aretha's passing, and then you think about, you know, some of the few living legends that we have left. And, you know, it just really kind of goes back to appreciating people while they're here, giving people their flowers while they're here, and letting them know how much they were loved. And I feel like Aretha definitely got a good degree of that. I felt like she really knew that she was loved and how important and how instrumental she was to Black music, to feminism, to, you know, redefining what it meant to be sexy and being comfortable with your own body and who you are. I didn't get a chance to nope off of the internet. Unfortunately, I was logged in and working for a website that I write for regularly. And I actually got to do a really cool piece about Aretha, just kind of pulling together a few quotes from a couple of her songs and some things that she said in interviews in the past or whatever about, you know, just standing up for people that are disenfranchised, about being an artist and giving it your all. Because if you're not giving it your all, what are you doing it for? You know,
pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she just said so many things, just had so many words of wisdom, you know, outside of her music and everything. And, you know, I think she was just, you know, just so strong and so feminist by nature. It wasn't like she was, you know, really trying or, you know, really trying or anything. It's just who she naturally was. And, you know, definitely grew up listening to her music. My dad's a gospel musician. So, you know, I mean, Aretha and people like that, I mean, they were, you know, they were the blueprint, because it really combined that gospel influence sound with a lot of the R&B and, you know, and soul music and everything. It was just kind of all intertwined together. So, I mean, Aretha had a major impact. And I mean, a lot of the people that we love and admire that came after her today, you know, wouldn't be who they are without her down a lot of those doors and those barriers and everything. So, I mean, Aretha's
man,
like,
if somebody, yeah. If an artist says, like an R&B, you know, soul artist says that they weren't influenced by Aretha Franklin, they are lying to you.
Right.
It's so funny because, like, I saw a couple people that, like, I don't know if it was either they were too young or just being trolls or whatever, saying they didn't know who she was or, like, she wasn't that important. I'm like, this is what you won't do
right
this week.
Well, you know, it's kind of crazy because, and I can't think of his name, it's whoever that little boy is that Black China's dating, some NBA rapper boy or something. I don't know his name.
That's like 12,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, so he had done this interview, right? And somebody had asked him about Wu-Tang Clan. And I think it was like with Complex or something. But either way, he didn't know who they were. And people thought that was okay. And I'm like, you know, no, it's not okay. If you're going to call something your profession or your craft or something like that, and you're going to be in a specific genre of music or something, it's not okay for you to not know. I'm not saying you have to know every single person that ever did it before you, but people that made major impacts and that were iconic in that particular field, you know, how could you not know those people? That's like saying that you're a science fiction writer, but you don't know who Octavia Butler is. That's like saying that you're a hip hop writer and you don't know who Dream Hampton is.
Tupac.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like saying that you're a, it's like 30 years from now, somebody's saying that they're a tennis player, but they don't know who Serena Williams is.
I wish somebody would say some dumb stuff like that to me. Like, I just don't understand. Like, how is it that you are, like, a part of, it's kind of like when Sam Smith last week came out his neck and said that he doesn't like Michael Jackson's music. And I'm like, how dare you? Like, how is it that, like, you are singing a style of music similar to what, you know, a more soulful type of music and not like Michael Jackson's music? Like, how do you do a genre of music and not give credit to the people that came before you or, like, acknowledge their existence?
Right.
I don't understand. That doesn't make sense to me.
Right, yeah, that'd be like Kevin Hart saying, you know, oh, Richard Pryor, I never heard of him, you know? People would be like, what? What do you mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Or he said that he had never heard of, you know, Eddie Murphy or not. Man, I don't like Eddie Murphy. It's like, no, that wouldn't make sense, you know?
Wait a minute. So, I'm going to fight MTV because apparently Taylor Swift is going to be a part of the Aretha tribute, and I just...
But she don't even like her.
I don't...
And she can't, she ain't got the range. Like, somebody with some, I mean, you know, and maybe I'm not the one to talk because, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm no soul singer. I'm no singer. That music is not my profession. All right. But I mean, I just, I know what music's supposed to sound like. I know what range sounds like. I understand, you know, that the voice is an instrument, and she ain't got the tools necessary to be able to pull this off. You need somebody that's gonna come up out their shoes and, like, sing some real soul music. Like, you can't do no Aretha tribute. You need some Fantasia. You need somebody with some grits.
I just wanted MTV to just not even, like,
I don't even know why they're doing one.
They don't have the range. MTV does not have the range. I'm sorry, they don't. BET sometimes doesn't have the range or like the wherewithal to put tributes together correctly. Right. Leave it to like the Grammys or something.
Yeah, no,
like,
you need some Lela James. You need some people in there that got some, you need some voices. People that can sing with an A. Yes. Not sing, you know, Taylor Swift can sing. It's cute. But you need some folks that can hold a note. Sing, you know? I don't know. Bless her. I won't be participating. I'm just going to pretend like that's not happening. I'm going to block it out of my mind like I block a lot of other things that are nonsense and stupid. Because that's just stupid right there. Especially when Aretha has, you know, she all but said in an interview like a couple of years ago, pretty much like somebody asked her opinion about Taylor Swift. And she was just like, she had a nice gown. I was like, ooh.
Great gown.
Right, great gowns. Beautiful gowns. Which is probably one of my favorite things. I mean, you got it. I love Aretha, man. She's going to be missed because that was hilarious to me. Well, moving on. I got a couple of things. The first one is a little sad. Try to talk about it without crying because this is a happy podcast. But it has been 5 years since we lost Lee Thompson Young. A lot of the younger folks may not be familiar with him and his work, but he was on the Disney Channel back in the late 90s, and he was the famous Jet Jackson. So he had his own TV show, and I loved that show. Like, I watched every single episode. I was in love with Lee Thompson Young. Like, he was probably one of my first, like, boy crushes or something like that. You know, I thought it was so...
He was adorable.
He was. I thought it was so dope that the show took place in North Carolina. And, you know, he got a chance to play, like, the secret spy on TV. But then he was also trying to balance his regular life and, you know, dealing with how he fit in his community as somebody that was, you know, famous or whatever in this small town community and all the stuff like that. And I love that show so much. And I follow his career from, you know, pretty much then forward. You know, he was Akilah's brother in Akilah and the Bee. And then his last role was as Detective Barry Frost in Rosalian Isles. And I just loved him on that show so much. And, you know, when they broke the news about his passing, particularly finding out that he had died by suicide, it crushed me the day that I found out. Absolutely crushed me because, you know, there had been reports before about him struggling with bipolar disorder and depression and stuff like that. And just, you know, the fact that here's somebody that seems to have it all. I mean, this, you know, very attractive, very handsome, very talented man with, you know, all of the financial resources and things that you could possibly have. He comes from this great family, you know, a mom and everybody that, you know, just seemed to love and dote on him. I believe his mom is a professor at FAMU. I may be wrong about that. But I saw where some people had tweeted in the past that they had taken a class and she always spoke about him and was just so proud of him when she talked about him, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know,
I mean, any mom would be proud of him. He had an amazing career. Yeah. Like an absolutely amazing career. And for the most part, stayed out of trouble. Like,
right. And everybody said how nice drama. He was. Like, when people met him, I never had the pleasure of being able to actually meet him face to face, but you never heard a bad word about him. Right. Ever. He was never in the tabloids for doing anything crazy or anything like that. I mean, he just seemed like he really had his head on straight. I saw a tweet because the anniversary of his passing was actually yesterday, which for you guys listening, you guys will be listening to this on Thursday. We're recording on Monday, August the 20th. So his passing anniversary is actually August the 19th. And somebody had tweeted that he probably, you know, had he continued to go on with Rosalian Isles and stuff, he probably would be blowing up kind of the way that Michael B. Jordan is blowing up right now.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes sense because, you know, as far as them, as far as like personality wise, you know, their backgrounds and everything like that, I feel like they are very similar types of people or whatever. So I never really thought about that before because I love Michael B. Jordan too. And I'm like, maybe that's why I like him so much, you know, just like as an actor and, you know, the way that he kind of carries himself as a person or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's just sad to see him go. I actually watched the episode of the famous Jet Jackson with my daughter last night, my oldest daughter, who's 8, and she loved it. And she's actually been talking about it all day. So now she wants to go back and like watch all of those episodes and stuff. But I mean, you know, it was just a good feeling to go back and watch it and to see him back on screen again. A little bittersweet because, you know, you wish he was still here. But yeah, 5 years. I mean, I can't believe it's been that long.
That, you know, that sounds like something that Genesis would love. Like, That it sounds right up her alley of like a show. It was actually not a show that I watched. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't really, wasn't really familiar with the older shows he was on. My mom was a big Rizzoli and Isles fan, so I kind of knew him from that. But you know, it's really sad to see anybody, you know, young and prospering out here to like, it's sad to see somebody succumb to suicide like that. Like you never know what's going on in somebody's head. It just shows you that like all the fame and all the money and stuff like that doesn't necessarily make you happy. I know we were having this conversation a couple days ago, like you really got to find some type of internal peace. And sometimes it's so hard being in the public eye and finding that.
Right.
And so, you know, again, it's just sad to watch. Again, we celebrate him and all of his success and stuff. Just trying to, you know, not feel so sad about it. Again, glad that we got what we got from him and
right.
still have his shows to go back and watch. And, you know, it's great that you're able to go back and watch Jet Jackson with your daughter. That's adorable yeah, and amazing.
You know, because it's so funny. And it's, you know, kind of, it's outdated, you know, for you know, for her generation. There are some parts yeah. of it that are outdated or whatever. Like when he pulled out a flip phone and like pulled the antenna up on it. And she was like,
yikes.
What kind of phone is that?
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, the themes and some of the themes of the overall show and everything and kind of what happened in that one particular episode that we watched last night. I mean, those things are kind of universal and they never really go away. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think she still could get so much out of it or whatever. So yeah, we're going to try to post a link. His family actually started a foundation in his memory. So for any of you guys out there that listen, that want to try to, you know, support other people, particularly people that come from people of color, really, and people that come from disenfranchised backgrounds and stuff who suffer so much and suffer often in silence because of, you know, the way that they were raised or certain stereotypes about, you know, what depression is, who it can affect and whom it can affect and, you know, kind of having to stay strong. And, you know, a lot of those things that we kind of get taught, I know, you know, as far as me and Christina being Black women or whatever, those are a lot of things that are kind of getting embedded into our heads and that have been that way since, you know, we were kids for so many of us. So we'll post a link to that and you guys check it out, you know, donate if you feel the need to or whatever, and just continue to lift up and love on those people that's around you, man, because you never know what people are going through.
This is very, very true. So let's change gears and get on to this Saved by the Bell deep dive we're going to go into here.
Yes. And so the reason that we're doing Saved by the Bell is because today, the day that we're recording this, August the 20th, makes 29 years since Saved by the Bell made its debut.
Wait a minute. Did you say 29? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Crazy. 1989.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll go with it. Like, it makes me feel real old.
It is. It's so crazy. And I've seen it all over Twitter and everything. I follow this pop-up restaurant that's in LA called Saved by the Max. And so basically, it's literally the Max that they've recreated where people can buy can go and they can buy tickets to go in, have dinner, hang out there. And it's literally a dead ringer for what the Max looked like on the show. And they've also got Principal Belding's office too, where you can go and eat and have dinner in there as well. I'm going to LA wow. next year in February. And so I'm trying to get to Saved by the Max so that way I can eat at the Max and like fulfill one of my lifelong dreams of eating at the Max, because I just always want to know like what the food tasted like since they, I mean, I don't right. know, they never ate it. They always had like hot water and stuff like, I mean, or Coke with no ice in it. It was crazy, but I always want to know what it's like to eat there. And I can't even get tickets, y'all. Like they're sold out for February. It is August. So that's how popular and that's how much the power of nostalgia and the power of this show has had an effect on people. Like people are traveling from all over the place to come and eat at this restaurant. But they did like a big event today and they had Lark Voorhees, who played Lisa Turtle, and a couple of other people, like the lady that played Tori, can't think of a real name, but she came out, and Dennis Haskins came out. I know that Mario Lopez, I don't think he was there today, but I know they posted a picture of him out there a few weeks ago. Hey, just hanging out, okay. Just pop in, hung out with some fans, grabbed him something to eat, took some pictures and everything.
Was like, I'm out.
Yeah, he's still good looking.
He is He pretty much hasn't aged, to be perfectly honest. Right. He looks like a slightly older version of AC Slater.
He just cut the mullet off and just kept it moving and put the parachute pants up and just put on a suit. And I mean, he literally looks the exact same. It's crazy. He looks amazing.
He does. It's like that. I think we talked about this on another episode. They were on one of those late night shows. Was it Fallon? Was it Kimmel? One of those where they did like
the skit, right?
Yeah, they did a skit of like with all of them together. I think the only person that wasn't there was maybe Screech. But they had, you know, everybody together.
Yeah, I don't think. No, she wasn't there either. No.
But they got, you know, the whole gang together to do some like hijinks at Bayside High School. And it was so much like a lot of them look a lot alike. Like even Mark Paul Gosselaar, like, still looks good. Tiffany Thiessen still looks good. She was on, what's the name of that show on USA? White Collar. Mm-hmm. She played like the FBI agent's wife, and she was amazing on that show. She just looks like an older version of herself, but like not that older. Like, looks like she could still be a high school student or like maybe a college student if she wanted to be. They just all still look really good for the most part. Screech is gonna screech.
He got real weird and kind of dark and twisty after he left after he left the show. Like, it's
I remember him on one of these VH1 reality TV shows. It's the one where they were like losing weight and like getting back into shape. He was just an absolute mess. Like, he was taking, like, he readily admitted that he was taking like weight loss supplements, and like there were weeks where he just wouldn't do anything, wouldn't show up to workouts, and like not lose weight. And then like when he did lose weight, he got up there and pretty much said, you know, I was taking like stack or two or some craziness.
Oh my god.
He was just a mess on that show. Like, he was getting up, there was a black guy that was like one of the judges and like all of the, like, also one of the trainers. And he was getting on the black guy's nerves all the time. Like, they just constantly butt heads the entire series.
I mean, I don't know. He just seems like a jerk. I mean, I don't understand why. I mean, he's a jerk about the whole Screech thing, which, I mean, I guess I get it to a certain extent that, you know, okay, maybe you don't want to be known as Screech for the rest of your life. Like, I mean, but I think the other people just kind of take it in stride, and they're just such, they're so good natured about it. It's like, yes, we know we were a part of this teen show, and this, you know, it was absolutely ridiculous and everything like that. But I mean, hey, we're a part of pop culture history now, so that kind of stands for something. I think he wrote like some kind of like weird book or something too, where he was supposedly like airing out everybody's secrets, but nobody thinks he's like,
nobody cares,
and nobody really cares. No. So I don't think the book went anywhere. I don't know.
It's like everybody else on the show is out here, you know, Mark Paul Gosselaar still working, Tiffany Thiessen still working, Mario Lopez still working. I don't really know what Lark Voorhees is doing with her life, or
I don't know. I know Lark has been through some things.
But I heard she's getting better.
She actually, when she showed up, over the hump. Yeah, even the pictures that they took at Saved by the Max, she looked good in those pictures and looked happy and looked healthy. So, I mean, I think that was really the important thing, is that she, you know, I know they were saying at one point in time, and I don't know if she ever really confirmed this or not, but that she was like kind of allegedly having some, you know, some mental health struggles and stuff of her own or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I've always been like rooting for her and stuff, because I, I like her so much, you know what I mean? From other things, she was in like How to Be a Player and, you know, a whole bunch of other things that I really liked her in. Yeah. You know, just absolutely gorgeous or whatever. And to me, I felt like Lisa was such an underutilized character on Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Like, I mean, they really never gave her her own arc. There was like that one time that she, and I'll be talking about, you know, a little bit later about one episode that actually did revolve around her, which was ridiculous and really good. But it was like that, there was like one episode where she, like, her and Zach like absolutely started dating.
Yeah, I remember.
And then the very next, like, in the very next episode, they just act like it never happened. And I was like, what happened with that? Like, I mean, they were like in a full-on relationship, and then the next episode was like, never mind. It was back to, you know, Zach and Slater chasing behind Kelly.
And then, like, I don't know what, first of all, I don't remember what Jesse Spano's name is off the top of my head right now. It, like,
Elizabeth Berkley.
It's gone. There we go. Yeah. She had that one really awful, terrible, cult classic, awful movie, and Showgirls.
Yeah, I've seen Showgirls.
That movie was awful. my goodness. But it's like, it's at the point now where it's like so bad that it's good, and it's like a cult classic, and people like really love that movie for just how awful it is.
Yeah, and she takes it in stride too. I mean, she knows what it is, and she's really good natured about it, and I love that.
Exactly. Like, everybody's still just like trying to live their lives and keep it going, and Screech is just out here being Screech. I'm gonna need him to get it together. Even Mr. Belding. Did I tell my Mr. Belding story on this show?
I don't think so.
I don't know if I told it. So I ran into Mr. Belding when I was in college. I was the vice president of our campus activities board. Mm-hmm. And there's like a national association of campus activities boards, which I did not know was a thing until then. But they have like conferences every year that you can go to, and like different acts and stuff like that will be there, you know, famous personalities. So you can like book them and like see what they're doing and stuff like that. Lots of artists perform, comedians, magicians, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys from Wildin' Out were there from like before this new version of Wildin' Out. And so one of the nights they sent us to this, the school that I was going to sent us to the conference. We went there to St. Louis for a week.
Okay.
And they paid for everything. It was wonderful. Even reimbursed us for food. And one of the nights, like one of the last nights, they had like three or four clubs on a street that were open to everybody going to the conference. So you could just kind of like club hop and, you know, get to know other people from other schools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I went to this one club, and there's like this basement, and like I go downstairs to the basement, and I hadn't even turned 21 yet, so I couldn't drink. But Mr. Belding was downstairs singing karaoke mm-hmm. in his Bayside Letterman jacket.
Oh my
and I was
God.
Just like, I have no idea what's happening, but I am 1000% here for it.
I love that. That is so cute.
Like, I don't even remember what song he was singing, but he was down there. I didn't get a picture with him or get a chance to talk to him, because I think he was like hosting something in that club or whatnot. I remember everybody's drinks were changing colors, and I was very confused. I thought I was like on a bad trip, but hadn't taken drugs or anything. And it, like, they had these little promotional like ice cubes that you put in your drink. They weren't actually ice cubes. They were like pieces of plastic. And like, once you put it in your drink, they start changing colors. So everybody's drinks are changing colors. Mr. Belding is singing karaoke. I'm like not on anything. I don't know what's going on. It was very disorienting for a minute. And then it was like, okay, this is the coolest thing.
Oh my God, that is so awesome.
That's ever happened to me in my life.
I love that so much.
But it was so much fun just sitting there like, I remember watching the show, and now Mr. Belding is standing there singing karaoke. Like, my life is awesome right now.
That is crazy.
It was a fun moment. It was probably one of my favorite moments that entire week that we were in St. Louis, was seeing Mr. Belding sing karaoke. So yeah, that's my little, I sort of kind of saw Mr. Belding out in the street story.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have any stories of meeting anybody from the cast. I would love.
But you might. You get to go to the Max. Maybe. Hopefully. We're going to speak it into existence.
Yeah, if I can get it to the Max, guys, I'm going to be posting all the photos and all the videos. And I think I'm going to try to see if I could possibly like do a Lisa look. Maybe like wear the outfit that she wore when she sprained her ankle or something like that.
Oh, I remember that episode. That episode was fun.
Yeah, so I want to try to see if I can get, you know, get a really cool outfit together and stuff. And if so, or either do like the cheerleader thing, you know, dress up like Kelly, the apparently the only cheerleader in the school, because the school only had 15 to 30 people in the entire school. Like, where were all the students at? It was like Zach and his group of friends, and then like a few random extras, and there was nobody else in this damn school.
Also, very true. Like... I feel like the school was only like that one little like piece that you saw at Bayside. You had like the hallway with everybody's lockers.
Right.
And then you had Mr. Belding's office on one side, and then like a classroom on one side, a mysterious like flight of steps that went to nowhere, I'm assuming. And then like the hallway split off in two different directions.
Right.
But you never saw what, like where those two directions went. Like, it's just that one classroom. And
we never even saw the outside of the school.
And apparently they had a gym.
Yeah, I mean, they would do things in the gym every now and then, because like, and it was the smallest gym ever, because like when Slater would have like his wrestling matches, which to me was funny. Like, was wrestling a big thing at your school? Like, did people go and like get hype about wrestling matches in high school?
I know we had a wrestling team. I think I might have seen them once. And that's about it. So no, it was definitely not a big thing.
They used to trip me.
My high school had tennis courts.
They would be like at the wrestling match, like, yeah. And I'm like, Who the hell is at a wrestling match turned up like that? Like in that tiny gym that again can only fit about 15 to 30 people. And then they had poor Slater, who, I mean, he was like built and everything like that, but Slater still looked like they actually looked age appropriate. How some other shows they would have, you know, teenagers that were literally like 35-year-old people. And they would have Slater wrestling these like 40-year-old men. And like these men was clearly 40. Like one dude had like some like gray on his face. And I'm like, this is not a teenager. Like he is wrestling an adult man right now in this tiny ass gym with 15 people in it, which apparently is the whole damn
school. Entire school.
Like I don't get it.
Maybe they lived somewhere that's like a very small town. And so Bayside is just like a small town with like population 200 people and half of them are over the age of 60.
Well, see, I don't think so. They are the only kids. They were in like the Palisades. Like they were supposed to be like in some like rich, ritzy area, like out in California.
That's also true.
You know, which is funny to me because there are like a billion episodes where they're like trying to like get together money or like scrape together money and stuff. And I'm like, aren't you from rich families? Like, do y'all not have money?
Also true. Like, Lisa Turtle was like the richest of, or at least always seemed to me to be the richest one out of all of them, because she was always like dressed to the nines and like super fancy and everything. And like, they're constantly raising money for like the Max or like the animals or whatever
episode for the
cockamamie like thing that Zach had them going after. Like,
I'm like, you know, the Max probably wouldn't need a telethon for you to raise money for them if, I don't know, y'all got out of the Max so that way regular people could actually go and eat in the damn Max. The Max couldn't make no money because it was a bunch of teenagers in there not eating food and having their school dances and having pep rallies and doing whatever the hell else they wanted to do in the Max.
Okay, see, that was my other thing about the show. Like, so was like the Max, was the Max attached to the school? Was it not far? Was it down the street? Was it like, this is where you do home ec in the kitchen at the Max? Like, I'm so confused.
Right. You know, and it's funny that you say that because there's a, and I think I've mentioned this before. So I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one of the podcasts that I've been listening to kind of on and off, I'm almost caught up with it or whatever, is called Go Bayside. And it's a podcast that April Richardson, who's a comedian, started a few years back, and she went and just pretty much backlogged every episode of Saved by the Bell, and she did the two movies. She didn't cover the college years because, I mean, nobody really liked those, but she... One of the funniest things that she would talk about up there, it was just her obsession with the Max, and, like, how they could just get into the Max and do all of these crazy things there. And she literally asked, like, the same questions that you just asked, like, is the Max a part of the school? Like, I think somebody came on her show and confirmed that the school actually... like, I guess some of the board like owned the Max, or it was something to that degree, but it still never was confirmed, like if the Max was attached to the school, if it was down the street. I don't know. I grew up in a small town and stuff, and like we would go to Sonic and go to a couple of other places like that and like cruise Sonic and like hang out in the mall parking lot when the mall was still like a thing there, but we didn't really have a restaurant that we like went to or hung out with at the Max. And there's no public restaurant that's gonna let you like hold a pep rally or a school dance at the restaurant
at the Max.
Like that's not how business works. That's why the Max needed money, because you guys are in there holding school dances at the Max. Like, what are y'all doing?
And telethons and dances and like having your little teenage drama. And like, they have, you know, Zach and company had their own specific table in the Max. They were either at that one booth that was on the very, very end, or the circular table
right
over on the left. Like, it was one of those two places. And like, they were always studying. There was never a whole lot of food. There was the guy that was like over the Max, who like knew everybody and their mother.
Yeah, the weird magician.
Like, yes.
And then he just disappeared. Like, remember he was there in the beginning, and what was it, maybe like season 2 or 3 or something? Like, he just like disappeared. And I'm like, who the hell is running the Max? Like, where did Max
I guess
go?
The inmates are running the asylum, or maybe the kids. I don't know. Who knows? The Max is such a mystery.
The Max is ridiculous. So, backing up a little bit, just what are your overall thoughts about just Saved by the Bell as a whole?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But if you have a Zach Morris in your crew, you need to eject him immediately. So there's a like a Facebook show called Zach Morris is Trash.
Yes.
And they go through every episode and talk about how like he is the worst friend ever to have.
Zach's a psychopath. Like, yeah.
Yes, he is. He's always the man with the plan, and the plan always backfires, and like Kelly and Zach and Jesse have to get him out of everything all the time. But like, he's like the worst friend ever. He's never looking out for his friends. He's always trying to like manipulate them or profit off of them. Right. Always got some craziness going on. Every now and again, Zach Moore saves the day, like every once in a while. But like, he's just a trash individual.
Yeah, but usually he's like the core of all the problems.
He is. He starts it. He's in the middle of it. He makes the situation worse. He tries to save the day. He's definitely a psychopath. Like, I'll definitely give you that. It's funny to see, like, this show go from where it started to where it ended up. Because, like, before it was, like, Bayside is how most people know it. It was, like, a middle school or something.
Right.
They were, like, much younger. And, like, they had a female teacher whose name escapes me.
Miss Bliss.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Love her. She was awesome. And then it went from that to, like, them being in high school.
In another state.
And then you saw them. Yeah.
Because remember, Miss Bliss was in, like, Illinois? Indiana? Oh, somewhere like that. Like, they ended up in a whole nother state for just no discernible reason.
Okay. So, I completely missed that part, because...
Yeah, like, they were in, like, Illinois or Indiana or somewhere like that. And somehow, like, they just all ended up in California for whatever unknown reason. It was bizarre.
How long was Good Morning, Miss Bliss a thing? Like, was that just the season?
I feel like it didn't last that long. Like a season or two. Maybe one. Okay. One season, if I'm not mistaken.
So there was that. Then, you know, the Saved by the Bell that we all know and love. And then there was the college years, which was a whole nother mess in and of itself. And like the random seasons where they were working at like a beach resort and the hijinks of working at the beach resort. And I'm like, why are y'all all working together?
Like, you don't see each other every freaking day at school. Like, people do different things over the summer, guys. Like, I remember my little crew of friends, like, some of us would be like, oh, you know, hey, I got a grandparent that lives out of town, I'm gonna go visit them. Oh, hey, my family goes on vacation, we're gonna go do this. Oh, you know, hey, I got a job here. Oh, I got a job there. Like, never ever did me and my entire group of friends get jobs together because we just couldn't stand to be apart. Like, cut the cord, guys.
I don't like anybody that much.
Like, I worked with two of my friends one time, and we all worked at Andy's, which is, they do cheeseburgers. It's like a 50s type diner for people who aren't familiar mm-hmm. with it. They do cheeseburgers, cheesesteaks, and everything. So it was me, my childhood friend, Shanetta, my best friend. We've been friends since like the first grade. And then our other friend, Kelly. All three of us worked there. And it was a disaster the whole time we were there because we just didn't get anything done ever. We were just in there clowning all day. And I was like, one of us got to quit because all three of us going to get fired. Either somebody got to quit or we all about to get fired in here.
I'm fairly certain it was Zach's idea for them to all work together, but, like, that just seems like, just stop listening to Zach Morris. Like, just, at some point, they just needed to stop listening to Zach Morris and his hijinks, and they need to stop being so mean to Screech.
Oh, my God. Why?
They were rude.
Why were they so, like, mean to him? Like, I get it. Like, Screech was a weird character to me, because it's like, one second, he's smart enough to, like, build a robot. Like, a fully functioning robot.
Right.
But then the next second, he's, like, doing the most idiotic thing ever. And I'm like, are you smart or are you dumb? Like, what's going on with you, Screech? Like, I mean, because I'm like, anybody that can build a robot, like, you should be, like, in college already.
Exactly. Like, you should have just, like, skipped high school. He's way too smart for them. Knuckleheads.
And he got into all those colleges at the end, remember? Like, he got accepted to, like, a ton of colleges. And then he ended up going to the same school.
Why? I'd be like, I ain't done with you, jokers.
Like, why? These people have been torturing you all throughout school. Like, people were just unnecessarily mean to Screech. I don't know. Maybe that's why Dustin Diamond is like that now. Maybe they were mean to him off the set, too. I don't know.
I can see it.
Because he was younger than everybody else. You know, he was like 2 or 3 years younger than the rest of the crew. Uh-huh. So, I don't know.
That makes sense.
There may be, let me find out. There might be a little bit of truth in what he's saying. I mean, I still think he's kind of wacky, but...
Well, he's definitely off his rocker, but, like, I can totally see them actually not... I mean, because realistically, even before it was kind of revealed that he was off his rocker. You didn't really see him with the rest of the cast.
Right.
A whole lot.
Like, they seemed to all
the rest
hang
of the cast
out.
Were still kind of like still chill with each other and like at least be cordial with each other. And Screech was just kind of, or Dustin Diamond was just kind of nowhere to be found.
Right.
So it kind of sucks. I wanted to be Lisa Turtle when I grew up. I did, because, I mean, she was a black girl right. on the show. Were there any other black people on the show, or was she the only one?
No, there was like a black nerd. I don't remember his name, but I mean, and the only reason he was a nerd was because he wore glasses with tape in them. I mean, that was the benchmark for being a nerd on that show, is that you had to, no, and I think he was the one that talked like a frog. Like, it was just so bizarre. He had like this really froggy, like smoker's voice or something like that. And he wore these ridiculous glasses. And I'm like, why? Because there was one episode where, and then there was like another black guy that Lisa like briefly dated for one episode. I think I saw like two or three other black people. I don't even think there was another black girl like on the show. I feel like all
Definitely
the other
not.
Black people on the show, it was like maybe one or two black guys. One of them I know was a nerd. The other one I'm not really sure about. I felt like he was, no. He was like, they were older. Like at this point, they were like juniors or seniors or something. And he was like a freshman. And so like him and Lisa had started dating each other. And she pretty much became grossed out by the fact that he was a freshman. It was that guy. Like, I don't remember his name. I don't remember that episode or whatever. But I remember, like, the general gist that he was younger. So people started, like, clowning her because she was dating a younger, you know, a younger dude. And it's like, okay, you're all in high school, number one. And number two, like, guys do it all the time. So.
Exactly.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, for me, Saved by the Bell just. It's just one of the most nonsense shows ever, but I love it because it's so nonsense.
I mean,
it's so nonsensical. Like, there's nothing about this show that is realistic or makes sense in any way. This
Oh, it's 1,000% nonsense. Yeah. Like, there's nothing about the show that makes sense.
I mean, their group of friends doesn't even make sense. In what world?
It really doesn't.
Screech and Zach and Slater be all in the same group of friends. Like, Screech is supposed to be pretty much Zach's best friend. Like, there's. And it's not saying that, you know, people were in such rigid lines and didn't talk to each other, but I just, there's no way they would have been, like, best friends.
They wouldn't even be in the same classes.
Right.
Like,
I'm like, presuming that Screech, again, is supposed to be way smarter than these other people. Like, how are you all in the same classes all the time and doing everything together? How is Kelly the only cheerleader? Every now and then, I think, like, I don't know, Lisa and Jesse were, like, randomly cheerleaders sometimes, but then sometimes they weren't. I'm like, where the rest of the cheerleading squad at? Like, I don't get it.
They were a music group. They had a music video and all the things.
Yes.
Like, they did that.
Because
they were, you could not
with other people,
separate the three of them.
You all randomly know how to play different instruments that just happen to come together to form the perfect band. Like, what? I play guitar. I play drums. I play the keyboard. Oh, what a coincidence.
I can sing. Like, Jesus.
I can sing. Let's all get together.
I just don't understand.
It's just, what kind of friendship is this? I never in my life met five other random people and been like, hey, we've all got these random talents that come together. I don't understand why anybody was friends with Zach. He's a horrible person. I mean, every episode, he's like lying to people. He's scheming, like you said. And then there are just times where he just literally like tries to like set women up on dates without their consent. And nothing
yes.
happens. Like, Zach does all this crazy, wildly illegal stuff. He talks so much crap to Belden and treats Belden like trash the whole time that he's there. As a matter of fact, most of the student body, all 15 of them, treat Belden like trash. Nobody ever gets suspended.
My God.
Like, they have no respect for this man whatsoever.
Nobody gets suspended. Nobody gets in trouble. Nobody gets expelled. Because there were quite a few times when Zach Moore should have gotten expelled and, like, never to be seen from. Never to be seen
Zach
nor heard
been
from
arrested.
Again.
Like, more than just expelled, like, the cops should have came
also
out
true.
And put him in handcuffs because he was literally doing illegal things on campus. Like, what are you doing? I don't understand what's happening right now. And then how they, like, dress up in these, like how they dress up in costumes to, like, spy on each other. And it's clearly them in a costume.
The worst costumes ever.
I mean,
like,
looking,
the time.
They're looking dead in each other's face. And it's like, you know that Screech with a wig on. I know that you know that. You see this man every
yes.
day, and he puts on like
that's
a
what I was about to
wig,
say.
And you're gonna really believe this is a woman? Like, no, it's
they
Screech
sent Screech in to the women's locker room with like a wig and a dress on to like spy on the girls, and I'm just like, nobody can tell us that Screech, like nobody,
right?
Nobody. Like,
and then he said he was
none of the three
O'Connor.
Of y'all.
I was like, Really, y'all? And they just went along with it. I'm like, y'all can't be this dumb.
They're like, this is fine. This is okay. It's okay. It's fine. No. No, it's not okay. First of all, you could probably get sued with, like, some type of sexual harassment for being in the woman's locker room. Right. Like.
And they asked him his name. He really said Sinead O'Connor. And they just like, okay.
Okay.
This checks out. This sounds right to me. You were named after a famous person. Lady who looks exactly like Screech. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense to me. It's so much inappropriate stuff. Like, just, like, when Kelly was dating the college dude. It just, what are y'all doing?
None of this stuff would have made it.
They were, like, trying to push up on, like, this random teacher. Like, it was, I don't know, was he, like, a substitute or something? Like, where all the girls were, like, in love with this guy. And they're like, I want to marry this man. Like, they were having, like, fantasies about marrying a teacher. And it was just, I was like, this is so inappropriate.
Oh, no, I do remember this.
Yeah, it was just so inappropriate.
Each one of them was in, like, had, like, a dream sequence where they were, like, in love with the teacher. Oh, my God, I remember that. There's no way this stuff would have passed, like, the censors or, like, the common sense people at the network. Like, there's no way.
How did they let this fly? Like, okay, so we've gone way, way out there or whatever. As you can tell, the same by the bell, knowledge is strong between the two of us. So we're going to talk about a couple, like, it's like 80-some episodes, guys. But we want to talk about, like, a few of them today that are just, that we think are, like, just some of the most out there, wackiest, craziest episodes ever. So just go for it, Christina. Like, what's one that you just think you could think of that's just like doesn't make any sense whatsoever?
So my favorite episode is the pipe dreams episode. Mm-hmm. So basically somebody discovered that there was oil underneath the football field and everybody was like super excited about like Bayside getting a whole bunch of money because there's oil underneath the football field. And, like, they were talking about, you know, getting manicures and classes and, like, all this other stuff and all the, you know, high-tech stuff that the school would be able to get off the money. And then, like, Zach was playing baseball or something and hit a duck. And everybody was taking a lot of care of the duck. And then they realized that, you know, maybe drilling for oil in the football field might not necessarily be the best of ideas because there was, like, an oil spill that I guess they had a pond or something near the football field. And so a lot of the animals got sick. And it became this big thing. So, like, they were having this presentation where, like, the oil guy was coming to talk about, you know, the oil underneath the football field. And there were all these, like, I guess oil rigs or whatever. Or I don't know what they're called.
Right.
But, like, the kids started protesting. Like, Kelly and Screech, like, chained themselves to an oil thing in the middle of the lobby. Or, like, the one hallway in Bayside. Right. And then, like, Zach busted in on the presentation and Belding's office and was like spraying oil all over people's shirts and clothes and stuff like that, and like it was complete and total anarchy. The duck died, so everybody was sad and mad about it, and I'm just like, what is going on here?
That was a crazy episode. I mean, the fact that they thought that they could do anything with the oil or like make any kind of profit off of it, it's like, no, like if something like that gets discovered, the government is coming.
Right, like the local government that owns the property of the school.
Like, it's not your oil. You can't just take it and get money and do things that you want to do with it. What are you talking about, y'all? I forgot about the duck part.
Yeah, there was a duck. Like, and then I want to say the duck's name was Becky, which is just completely and totally hilarious to me. But yeah, there was a duck, and I guess that was the duck was the catalyst for the entire thing. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, just, can y'all go to class and, like, learn something? Please.
No, too busy.
Y'all are gonna have to excuse my dog. I don't understand.
Oh my God.
I don't.
It's just, I don't know. So, like, how I was saying earlier, right, about me kind of wishing that Lisa had a bit more of an arc and how we liked her because she was the black girl in the crew, so you kind of wanted her to win or whatever. So, like, one of the earlier episodes of Saved by the Bell was an episode where they had all, like, gotten their report cards, which is kind of weird because I'm like, the show had just started. And I'm like, y'all getting report cards already? Like, how fast is time moving on this show? But either way, they had got the report cards and everybody else had gotten, like, you know, little rewards and stuff. Lisa's dad, like, full-on gives her a credit card. tells her she can go, you know, ball out, do whatever. So everybody's like, you know, waiting to see what she got. She comes in with like this crazy looking outfit or whatever. You know how she was. She always had on like some loud colors and stuff. So she spent like $400 on the card. And so she's like freaking out, trying to figure out, you know, how I'm gonna pay this off or whatever. And, you know, I'm immediately like, again, don't y'all have money? Like, I feel like if he gives you a credit card and, you know, kind of gives you free reign there, that he's got enough money to be able to cover. I just don't feel like $400 is a lot of money to a rich person, even back in like 89 or 90.
Especially for like Lisa Turtle, because again, like she was always wearing like the flyest outfits,
right?
And like the most well-dressed out of all of them. Like, why is this such a big deal?
Right, but either way, she's like freaking out. And so Zach sold tickets to boys at the school. Like, they would pay like a dollar or something. I don't know how much it was. It was like a dollar or something. And they were able to walk up to Lisa and kiss her. And she didn't know. And I'm like, so you are letting people pay to, like, sexually harass your friend who had no idea this is going on. Like, dudes just started running up to her in the hallway and just, like, kissing her on the cheek. And it's like, she's like, what the heck is happening? And nobody said anything about it. Nobody did anything about it. Zach didn't get any trouble for it at all. Then she, instead of like saying, oh my God, Zach, you are the worst friend ever, and like getting somebody to like kick Zach's tail, she worked with Zach and they started like selling clothes out of lockers between class, like some straight up hustlers, like in the hallway. Screech rigged the lockers to open and shut, like with a remote. Again, like, why are you this smart in high school? Is this even a thing that a real actual person could do? I don't know. I'm gonna ask my husband because he's an engineer. So maybe he's got the answers for me. But
I mean, you could, but the lockers would have to be unoccupied. But first. When did he have time? But I mean, there's only 15 students. So
when did he have time to do that?
Didn't Zach have like a key to the school or something somehow, some way?
Because they set up like these most crazy elaborate things inside the school, and I'm like, how do y'all do this without getting caught? I mean, I don't get it. And Belden's office is literally like right there. So, and he's in the hallway all the time. Like,
because he ain't got nothing to do because he's only got 15 students.
Exactly. So I'm like, how the heck did you do that? I don't know. Is that possible? How? So that didn't work because I can't remember exactly how it went, but somehow like Lisa's clothes got mixed in with like some clothes drive clothes. And so they basically got given away. So she's even out more now. So now she still has the money on the credit card and she ain't got no clothes. So she decides to get a job at the Max, and she is a terrible waitress. Like, she's got a terrible attitude. She's dropping people food. She's getting stuff mixed up. And Slater, the man of bright ideas, is like, hey, ooh, if you turn around tables faster, you can get more tips. And it leads to, like, this really, like, comedic scene or whatever that I remember where, like, they're bringing the food out, like, fast as crap. And the minute they sit the food down in front of people, like, they immediately take it up and throw it in the trash can. To like get people in and out quick, and somehow she still made tips. And I'm like, who tips somebody when you literally took my food and threw it in the trash? Like, I just ordered it. I didn't even bite it. You threw it in the trash. And now I'm getting a tip. Okay.
These kids are not that smart. Like,
and it was, all of it was so pointless because at the end she just like talked to her dad. And her dad was like, oh, it's okay. Let's go like go out to eat or something like that. So the whole entire episode was absolutely pointless. She learned nothing about the value of a dollar. I mean, I guess that's what it was supposed to be about or something like that. She learned nothing about the value of a dollar. Nothing. Like, I like it because it was the episode that focused around her, but it was just so stupid. And I'm like, Zach, what are you doing? You can't sell tickets for somebody to come up and kiss a person without their consent. Like, it's not like she was like running a kissing booth where like she knew that people were going to pay and come up and kiss her. Like, he was like selling raffle tickets for people to come up and kiss this girl. Without
sexual
her knowledge.
Harassment. Right. Like,
but it's not the first time that it happened. It's like a running thing on this show where like Zach like promises somebody like, hey, you know, I'll get you on a date with Kelly. I'll get you on a date with Jesse. I'll get you on a date with Lisa and stuff. And I'm like, you know, you can't promise people a date with other humans like without their consent.
How are you trying to set other people up with Kelly when you're trying to get with Kelly at the same time?
Right.
Like,
what are you,
how does this
what
work?
Are you doing, Zach? I mean, Zach and Slater, like I said, their whole friendship and that fighting over Kelly all the time, I just don't understand. Like, they were always competing over a girl all the time, which I'm like, well, I mean,
and not gonna tell them they're fighting over Kelly,
right? And I don't know, I mean, if I were Jesse and Lisa, like, I would really feel some kind of way, especially Jesse, because she ended up dating Slater. Like, the fact that my boyfriend had like the hots for my homegirl, it's weird.
It is very strange. very, very strange. And I'm still mad at Kelly for marrying Zach. Because, like, why? Why would you do that to yourself?
Oh, my God. That wedding movie is the dumbest movie. Just, it's so dumb. I mean, Zach, again, had learned no lessons, despite him being older and supposed to be wiser. Like, learned no lessons whatsoever. They got, you know, stopped by the cops and all of that crap happened. So, and he ended up, like, losing the money and stuff that he had or whatever. Instead of just, like, being honest with Kelly, he's determined to, like, gamble or do some crazy stuff. And didn't him and Slater, like, end up in, like, some kind of, like, basically, like, an escort service where, like, they end up on, they get, like, paid to go on dates with, like, older, lonely women. The mob is chasing them around Vegas. I'm like, what is going on here?
Why?
That wedding movie is hilarious. I don't know. Like, Saved by the Bell. Everything is on. All the episodes of the show are on Hulu, guys, if you want to go and watch them. I don't know if you can find the movie or not, but if you listen to Go Bayside, they did a recap of the movie. And their recap of this movie is so funny. Like, I mean, literally, I was listening to it in tears, just listening to them laugh at the pure ridiculousness and nonsense that happened in this movie. I'm like, so this is what we're doing? Like, Zach's still an idiot. The cartoonish gangsters, just everything about that was just so stupid. Like, God, what are you doing?
We cannot, like, I just don't understand how Zach still has friends. Like,
I don't know. That whole
I don't remember how many seasons Saved by the Bell, like, as a like the main show was. But, like, Zach should have been out of here after, like, episode 5. Like, yeah, no, we're not doing this.
I mean, and the thing is that they kept, I mean, Zach would just be doing the wildest stuff. Like there was that one episode where it was class rings. So they put Zach in charge of picking out the class rings, which, again, this group, like, runs the school. They're in charge of every freaking thing at the school. I'm like, what if the other?
Well, of course, because it's just them.
I'm like, what if the other students want to be on the yearbook council? Like, what? They don't get a choice. They don't get an opinion. Like, Zach and his friends are in charge of everything. So when you get your yearbook, it's basically going to have their face on every freaking page because they run the entire school of 15 to 30 students.
I mean, their yearbook can't be that complicated. It's only got to be like 6 pages, not 15.
It's just a bunch of pictures of Zach and Slater, and then the rest of the pictures just Slater up there striking a pose by himself.
Kelly's
up there cheering by herself. The debate club is just Jesse. It's just her.
How do y'all have a football team if y'all only have 15 students? Is Kelly getting out there and putting on some shoulder pads and stuff?
It's just Slater.
And then, like, cheering between
players. Slater throwing the ball and catching it all at the same time. There's no other students in the school.
No wonder he was in such great shape.
Like, a few other football, you know, football players. But I don't even know if they even gave these people names. Like, they were basically just there to be like, yes, Slater's the man. Like, that was their whole thing, was like, Slater's a man. We're just here to let you know Slater's a man. But the class ring episode, like, I didn't get it because, number one, why is Zach in charge of anything? Like, he has proven that he is the worst person ever. Why would you want to put him in charge of purchasing class rings? And why is he purchasing everybody's ring? Don't people get to pick out their own rings?
That's what I was gonna say. Like, don't they give you the big old book where you get to design what you want for yourself because it's your class ring?
Exactly.
Like,
and then Zach has a nerve to buy them from, like, the scammiest of dudes. Like, he meets this scammer dude in the Max, of course, because everything takes place in the Max. And the dude is clearly a scammer. Like, he's got on, like, the flashy suit. He's, like, talking fast and he's, like, winking, like, it's real steal. It's a real steal. A real steal. And I'm like, Zach, you are a scammer. Like, you're a scammer. That is your trade. That's your profession, dude. You can't recognize another scammer when you see one.
Right. Really? Game recognize game and all that jazz.
Right. I mean, I don't see why he doesn't recognize, literally. This guy's like the future version of Zach, except for just less cool. Like, Zach was kind of smooth about his, for the most part. This guy was just, like, straight up corny scammer. I don't understand. Like, he got the rings. The rings were turning people's finger green. It was just the craziest thing. And then that story had, like, a crazy, like, secondary plot too, where Tori finally confronted them about, like, being jerks to Screech, And then they're like, well, why don't you hang out with him? And then you can see why we hate him and why he gets on our nerves so much. And then she hangs out with him and then totally hates him too. So okay. For 1 second, I finally thought that somebody was going to like stand up for Screech. I was like, yeah, you know, somebody's going to stand up for Screech. I mean, we know he can't keep a secret or anything, but maybe you guys should just stop doing secretive crazy mess and telling Screech if you know he can't keep a secret. And no.
Or just, you know, stop being scammers altogether.
Yeah, nope. Just thought Screech was going to get his little moment. She hung out with Screech, found out, hey, now I totally see why you hate this guy. I'm like, dang. Poor Screech.
That's just rude. Rude!
Poor Screech. Oh my god.
Screech will get no love. Gets no love. Justice for Screech or something, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either. And like, Screech, the spaghetti sauce joint.
Who thought that was a good idea? Like, who?
Okay. I don't understand how they were. So they were stealing supplies from, okay, wait, back up.
From the Max, probably.
Okay, so the original gist of the episode was that, of course, Zach and his crew are running the morning news show at the school or something. So Zach and like Lisa had a segment together, and then Kelly had this random weather girl segment where she takes off her coat and she has on the highest cut bikini I've ever seen on a human being before in my life. Uh-huh. And I'm like, for a school segment? What? Why? Why is she dressed like
this? Why are you bringing a bikini to school and like...
So again, I mean, just really, I mean, sexing it up there with Kelly, a teenage girl in a high school, on a high school thing. And you really got her on with a mom, like super high waist cut bikini. It was so ridiculous. But so Screech has a segment where he's like cooking and stuff. And somehow he makes the sauce or whatever. And they taste it, you know, like I think Zach or somebody like that tastes the sauce. And of course, it's like Zach and them's idea, like we should totally package this and sell it. Uh-huh. So they steal supplies. Like, I remember they took, like, some beakers from the lab. I don't even know where they got, like, the tomatoes and stuff from. Probably the Max, like you said. I mean, I don't know. They're just stealing things indiscriminately. And packaging spaghetti sauce. And the thing that kills me about it is that the students were, like, crazy about the spaghetti sauce. And I'm like, who buys spaghetti sauce from another student? Like, you buy candy bars. Or something like right. that from, like, other students. Like, if somebody came up in high school and was like, I'm about to sell this spaghetti sauce or this Alfredo sauce in the hallway. It's like, no, that's weird. If I want spaghetti right. sauce, I just go to the store and get some spaghetti sauce. Like, why am I going to get some spaghetti sauce that you made? Like,
what am I going to do with the spaghetti sauce if I buy it while I'm at school? Like, where are we going to store it? Or, like, I can't put it in my book bag. Like, I might forget it's in my locker. Like, what's...
Right. I don't understand why kids would want spaghetti sauce so much. Like, what if you bought...
These kids even know how to cook?
If you brought spaghetti sauce home to your mom and was like, hey, I bought the spaghetti sauce for my friend Ty in school. She made it. With some ingredients that like, I don't know. I just know that it's really good. Can you make me some spaghetti with the sauce that my friend made in school?
She would look at me like something was wrong with me and that I have fallen and bumped my head and that I need to go get my money back post-haste. Like, I don't...
It's just... It's crazy. I mean, the whole business...
Moral of the story.
The whole business is just so illegal. Like, I'm like, again, this is where somebody... All the people should have just gotten arrested and in all sorts of trouble because Screech ended up stealing the recipe. Like, somehow his spaghetti sauce, like... word traveled out and he ended up like making money off of it and stuff, and somebody like came to the school and said, hey, you stole this recipe, you owe us money now. And it's just completely nuts. Like, it is the most, it's one of the most nuts episodes that they've ever had before on that show. And I just what teenagers like spaghetti sauce that much?
Exactly.
Like, you would have like... thought that Screech was giving away tickets to New Kids on the Block show or something. The way that people were like clamoring, like they were like following him around like he was a celebrity in the hallway over some spaghetti
sauce.
Were
they like, I just, like you said, like you're supposed to be buying candy bars off of people snacks, drinks, things of that nature, right. Not spaghetti sauce.
Like, it's the weirdest
thing. It'd be one thing if he was selling, like, macaroni and cheese or, like, actual spaghetti with the, you know, noodles and the meat and all that stuff, but, like, just
the sauce.
A bottle of spaghetti sauce, like.
And it was, like, the most generic looking sauce. It literally just looked like crushed tomatoes in a jar. Like, if I took some tomatoes out of my thing and just, like, smashed tomatoes and put them in a jar.
Like, how are y'all so rich that, like, every single thing y'all do is, like, some type of get-rich-quick scheme?
I don't understand. Like, because I'm like, you were supposed to come from families that are well off. You live in California, like, in the Palisades or somewhere like that. Why are you selling spaghetti sauce at school? Why do kids like spaghetti sauce at your school? I don't understand. What is going on? What's going on, Screech? What's going on with you? I don't know. I can't talk about that one no more, because every time I think about him selling that sauce and the way that people were like following him around, like, ooh, me.
The kids at Bayside High School were just not that bright.
These were some weird kids. I mean, they were into some really weird stuff. It's like when Lisa was selling the clothes in the credit card episode. Like, if somebody brought their clothes to school and set them up in a locker and sold them, like, I get it. She's like fashionable and stuff, but who wants somebody else's clothes? Like, I mean, to me, I feel like that's weird in high school. Like, nobody's going to want to buy somebody else's clothes. Because, I mean, that would make you look, like, tacky or something, you know?
And, like, not the clothes that, like, you wore, like, last week. Like,
just. Right. I don't know. It's weird. They just. So, I don't know. I mean, and apparently the spaghetti sauce episode was supposed to teach a lesson. I don't know what that lesson is. Maybe it's just don't steal spaghetti sauce recipes, or don't steal recipes from other people because it's illegal. I don't know. There are a lot of things up here that are supposed to teach a lesson, and you really don't get one out of it.
Just like, how about stop? Just stop being a jerk to your friends. Like, just moral of the story: don't be Zach Morris. Is what the moral of, like, Saved by the Bell is. Just don't be a Zach Morris.
Yeah. Do you remember the episode where Zach found out? Where Zach did, like, they had the school project where they were supposed to be talking about their heritage and stuff. And this episode actually could have been a really good one had they focused on Lisa. So Lisa found out that, like, her great-great-grandfather or something like that, like,
I remember this. Had,
like, was built on the Underground Railroad and all that stuff. Zach finds out. No, wait a minute. Okay, so, of course.
Wasn't it Jesse that found out something?
Okay, no. So Jesse found out that her family owned slaves, which, I mean, I'm like, Jesse, does that not check out? Are you not a white person? Like, I mean, she just seems so shocked by this whole thing. And then she spent, like, the rest of the episode, like, following Lisa around, like, apologizing for her family owning slaves. And Lisa's just like, go away. Like, what are you doing? Like,
it was quit being weird.
It was so, like, bizarre. Like, she was, like, apologizing and, like, saying, oh, I'll, like, she said she would, like, repave her parents' driveway and all this crazy stuff like that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Leave Lisa alone. Like, why not focus on Lisa in this episode? Because, like, she had a really good project and talked about, like, her family was on the Underground Railroad, and it was really interesting. And I'm like, this would have been a good time to, like, kind of focus on Lisa and talk about, you know, her past and how, you know, race kind of ties into her current experience. But I'm like, no. Saved by the Bell just had to focus on Zach and his foolishness. So Zach finds out that he is, like, some, like, minuscule percentage Native American. And he decides
he showed up to class in, like, a headdress and stuff. Yes, too, right?
He decides to dress up like a whole freaking chief. I mean, the full on regalia and everything. And I'm like, you know, I mean, I know you can't judge a person by how they look all the time, you know, aesthetically, as far as in terms of what their, you know, genetic makeup or what race they are. But Zach is, like, the whitest of white people. I find it super very white. Like, hard.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
I find it very hard to believe that Zach has any Native American blood in him at all. I mean, just what is going on? And then the teacher has Zach hanging out with this really creepy, like, drunk dude who's supposed to be a chief of some tribe or something like that. Like, that guy, he didn't look like the chief of nothing but the chief of being weird and being drunk. And Zach was, like, hanging out over at this man's apartment, like, every day after school. And I was like, nobody seems to find a problem with this. Like, he don't know this man. This man could be, like, a creepy pedophile or something. And he was just, like, hanging out with him. And being weird.
Yeah, like, I don't. It just reminds me of those, like, 23andMe commercials where, like, oh my god, I'm not Italian. I'm, like, German. So, like, you're still, like, super white. Like, you look white. Like,
right.
That's basically what you're saying to me.
That I'm like, Zach, still you, white. I mean, like, even if you do have a small, tiny drop of Native American blood in you, it's like, okay, Zach, like, what are you doing? Really? You're not about to sit here and dress like a whole chief. Like, you ain't that Native American, sir. Take that outfit off and stop. Like, it's weird because, like, he dresses up and does the project and everybody acts like it's, like, the best thing ever when really it sucked and it was crazy racist and nobody says anything about this whatsoever. Like, Lisa's project was way better than Zach's. And everybody just acts like it was the best thing ever. And then, like, the creepy drunk chief of nothingness dude died. And then he, like, appears in Zach's bedroom, like, in some kind of, like, dream sequence, like, wearing a white suit, and he, like, gets in bed with Zach. And I'm like, what the heck is... It was just the weirdest... It was the weirdest episode. And, I mean, again, it's, like, I don't know if it was the first time, but it was, like, one of many times where, like, Saved by the Bell did some pretty, like... Like, if you show this stuff on TV now, today, like,
there's people no way.
Like, yo, that's mad racist. Like, what are you doing right now?
There's no way, like, any of this would pass, like, on TV right now. Like, there's absolutely no way. Like, people would riot.
Like, yeah, I mean, because Screech is, like, dressed up I guess he was supposed to be, like, a kung fu master or something in one thing. And he, like, was, like, you know, oh, you know, y'all, and all this stuff like that. And I'm like, yo, you can't do this. Yeah, I'm so glad this happened in the 90s because I'm like, this would not fly now. Like, Zach, with his whitest of white self, dressing up like a full-on, like, I mean, he had on, like, the whole Party City outfit on. And I'm like, what are you doing, Zach?
If you don't take that headdress off, like, he looked ridiculous. Like, he really did look ridiculous. Like, you are straight up, like, the whitest, blonde hair, blue eyes, like, you're, no. Just, please go have a seat somewhere and stop talking. Like, just.
Right. I'm not buying what you're selling, Zach. You're trying to sell us the fact that you're 0.00001% Native American, and it's not happening. No, what are you doing? I can't. And then the dude like gave him a name and like called him Running Zach. And I'm like, really? Really? And he just so happened to find out that, oh, my ancestor was a chief too. So I'm like, okay, so every Native American person that you put, or alleged Native American person in this episode just had to be a chief. Like, I mean, they just use so many stereotypes and so much just wrong and ridiculous stuff. I was just like, what are you doing?
Just loud and wrong.
And didn't Screech do, like, a really bad impression of, like, a Native American person, too?
I'm fairly certain he did. Like,
Bye, Screech. With your bad impressions and your worst costumes. Get out of here. And your spaghetti sauce that you're selling to 16-year-olds.
Like, the more we talk about this, the more I'm just like, why did we watch this show growing up? Like, why?
I mean, when you watch it now as an adult, it's just so stupid.
Like, what are we thinking? What part of this monstrosity of Zach Morris being a psychopath did, like, connect with us? Like, what was it? Like,
I don't know.
My goodness. And then, everybody, like, even if you haven't watched this show a lot, everybody knows about the Jesse Spano episode where she gets hooked on, like, caffeine pills.
I'm so excited. And
singing I'm so excited at the top of her lungs because she's trying to study and, like, do music with Kelly and Lisa and, like, cannot balance everything. So she gets hooked on on caffeine pills and is just, like, up and hyper and, like, going absolutely nuts throughout the entire episode and not sleeping and trying to maintain her status as, like, the valedictorian of the school and all this other stuff. And, like,
I mean, but she made, like, one so-so grade. Like, they had taken, like, some kind of test or something, and she made, like, a C or something. And she really felt like that was going to, like, tank her chances of going to college. And I'm like, girl, one C. One C.
Just one.
Like, I don't even know if it was a test. It was probably, like, a quiz or something, like, minuscule like that. Like, one C. And she was really tripping, like, oh, my God, I got to take all these caffeine pills and study hard and stuff.
Didn't Zach give her the caffeine pills? Like, wasn't Zach the one that gave it to her?
I wouldn't doubt it.
I want to say that, like...
I don't really remember where she got them from, but I'm sure it probably... Let's just blame Zach, because Zach is the source of everybody's problems.
Pretty much.
Ridiculous show. And Slater's like, no, no, no. don't take those you get addicted to. And I'm like,
people need to be listening to him. I don't know. Like, I really don't.
Did she take them long enough to really get addicted to them, though?
See, that's the other thing.
For a couple of days.
That's the other thing.
They had, like, she had been, like taking caffeine pills. Like, she was, like crushing them up and snorting them up her nose or something. Like, she took, like, 3 or 4 caffeine pills, maybe.
This is Saved by the Bell.
She took what was, like, the equivalent of, like, a Red Bull.
This is Saved by the Bell, Say No to Drugs episode that failed horribly. Because the only thing that everybody remembers is Zach trying to shake the crap out of Jesse, and Jesse singing "I'm so excited," like at the top of her lungs, like a manic woman.
I mean, this whole episode was so bizarre because then they had like that other plot going on where the girls had like gotten together and like formed a group, and
right,
wasn't Zach like managing them or something like that? They had done like this crazy music video, like the 80s of workout gear. Like, they had all the most 80s Olivia Newton-John workout gear ever. And they're like jumping on trampolines and singing this terrible song. And I'm like, first of all,
this song is trash.
How do you all just randomly know how to sing? I mean, you just all managed to sing. And it sounded like much older people singing.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Like, the voices that were coming out of their faces were not teenage voices. These were grown women voices.
Just
singing a stupid song. And it was just so exaggerated. Like, I mean, I guess you were supposed to like take it serious with Jesse being like overly hyper and stuff, but it just ended up being funny instead of being like serious how they wanted it to be.
It's definitely ridiculous and overacted and just,
And Go Bayside talked about the same thing or whatever. And that was like one of the, you know, about can you get addicted to caffeine pills? And I don't think you can. Like, I know people that, like, my sister is a super Starbucks addict, but she can like stop drinking coffee. And she's okay. Like, she's not going to go into, like, any kind of, like, crazy withdrawal and start, like, right, freaking out. Like, I mean, they had, like, she was doing, like, crack cocaine or something.
I mean,
and it was caffeine pills.
Yeah, like, it was caffeine pills. It was like she just had coffee in the morning. It's not like she was on, again, like I accidentally said, speed or, you know, any type of harder drugs. It was caffeine pills. Like, how... Like, I just...
Right. And they had another episode, like a Don't Do Drugs episode, too, where, like, the dude, I can't think of his name, but he was supposed to be, like, some kind of, like, celebrity or something. But for some reason, he was, like, randomly at their school. I guess for, like, an event or something. I don't know. But he, like, smoked, like, weed in the bathroom. And people were just like... And I'm like, I mean... He smoked weed one time. That's how I'm smoking weed one time in the bathroom. And right, they acted like he was like a raging like drug addict, like shooting up heroin or something.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, like I get it, you know, where, you know, they're like weed, it's gateway drug and all the stuff like that. But I'm like, is it that serious?
It definitely is not. Like, probably should have been smoking on campus. Yeah, definitely not a thing that you should have been doing. But like, let's not do that. Like, let's not vilify, like, certain things that are just really not that serious. Like, we don't have to do this. It's just not smart. Like, what were the writers thinking on the show? Like,
it's just so much crazy stuff. Like, the episode that where Slater's sister, like, randomly showed up out of nowhere and Zach was trying to date her. And I'm like, all this time, there was no mention of Slater having a sister.
She just randomly appeared, and you're just like, wait.
Right. And then you never saw her again after the episode. Like, they would bring in these random characters, like Slater's, like, girlfriend, like, from overseas or something like that. Like, they brought her in. Like, she somehow magically moved to exactly where Slater is. And for some reason thought that they were still dating. And I'm like, you hadn't talked to this boy in, like, a year.
Right.
Or two.
This is
he had been there for a while. And I'm right. Like, how do you possibly think you're still dating? And then you, again, she's supposed to be a new student there, and you never see her again. Like, she just disappears.
It's like they were trying to make Grease the Saved by the Bell episode and, like, failed miserably.
Right. Like, I don't get it. It's so much weird stuff that happens on this show. It's just so ridiculous. Or, like, the episode, it was, like, around Christmas where, who was it? Was it Kelly? Kelly or Jesse that was working in they were working in a department store or something, and Zach, like, ran into this girl in the mall, and she turned out to be homeless.
Okay.
I mean, and they were just, oh, my God, it was just so crazy because Zach was treating her like homelessness was, like, a disease or something like that.
Right.
He's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're homeless. Oh, you know, and all of a sudden he's like, you know, are you okay? Is everything okay? And he was just, I don't know. I mean, he just, the way that he treated her was just so weird in the episode. It's like, I mean, she's homeless. She's not like dying or anything right. like that. Like, it was crazy. And his family had like invited her to like her and her dad, mm-hmm. like over for dinner and stuff like that. And then they said that they could stay with them until they got on their feet. And again, you never saw these people again. Or like the episode where they were drinking. Remember that one where they had like the house party and they were dressed up in like the togas and stuff and they were all drinking?
Yes. Wasn't that at like Slater's house and they broke some fancy thing? Like
yeah, they broke something. And then they wrecked Lisa's mom's. Was it her mom? It was her mom's car.
Oh my God. Yes, oh my I remember God. This.
Because they were driving down the hallway going, driving down the fake highway going, wow, thing. They were singing. I mean, but they act like they were so twisted. And I think I saw them drink like one beer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't, even if you're a teenager and you don't have a high alcohol tolerance or whatever, like you ain't that drunk.
No,
like,
I mean, definitely
they,
not.
They act like they were like drinking, like standing on their head and had like taken like shots of vodka or something like that. And I'm like, I mean, they drank like a little bit of beer.
Exactly. Because they probably couldn't get a whole lot, to be perfectly honest.
Right. You know, it was just so crazy. And then, like, how they magically were able to fix the car or whatever. And, like, Tori fixed the car. She was somehow able to find, like, these super expensive, because it was like a luxury car or whatever. Yeah, and she was able to find, like, these super expensive parts just lying around.
Because Lisa's mama doesn't play. She had a fancy car. Like,
oh, yeah.
Definitely remember that part. That's what I'm
saying. Like, why was Lisa freaking out about that $400 on the credit card then? Your family got money, girl. And even if she had... Even if she had gotten the money for it, I mean, the statement's still gonna come in the mail.
Exactly.
Like, right. I don't.
Eventually, like the transactions are still going to show up. Like, clearly, they didn't teach you about how credit cards work.
Oh my God! Now I'm thinking about that toga episode with the party. That's just so funny to me because I mean, they act like they were like full on, and they did a terrible job of acting drunk. Like, just. I didn't believe for a second that anybody in that car was drunk.
Absolutely not.
I mean, I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, if I'm in high school and I've been drinking and stuff like that, like, what I'm not about to do, I don't care how well. And the funny thing is that, like, because Zach was driving, right?
I think so.
The funny thing is that Screech offered to drive, and Screech hadn't drank anything. But they're like, oh my God, Screech, you're such an idiot. You can't drive us home. And I'm like, okay, like, I understand not trusting Screech with the secret and all of that stuff. But like, if there's one time you're going to trust Screech.
Now would be the time. This
should probably be the time. Like, he's the only person.
He probably is actually a halfway decent good driver too.
Right. Because I could see him being like super careful and not wanting to mess anything up. Especially with Lisa because he's like totally in love with her, you know?
Right.
So he doesn't want to get her any trouble. So he's going to be like super careful to make sure that you guys get home. But no. Again, this is people trusting Zach, who has proven himself to be the most untrustworthy person in Bayside High. Like, what are you doing?
I just don't. Like, the moral of the story today is that Jesus Christ, this show is a mess. Like, it's a wonderful mess that we know and love and, like, will never, you know, stray from and, like, never not watch again. But Jesus Christ, this show is a mess.
It is 25, 29, I would say 25, 29 years of just crazy, crazy messiness. I mean, and like I said, go back and listen to, because a lot of the things that we kind of covered and brought up and stuff today, some of that stuff was also covered on Go Bayside. So if you want to, if you're a Saved by the Bell like fan and you really want to go and listen to somebody, April has really great Saved by the Bell knowledge. And she also had a lot of really cool guests up there too.
Yeah.
Like different comedians and people that have actually like met these people and and interacted with them. She even had a dude up there that was an extra in a few of the episodes. And so he kind of talked about his experience. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a really, really cool podcast. Like I said, we're talking about it today, just kind of celebrating the anniversary. But if you want to go and like listen to a podcast that's strictly Saved by the Bell, that's a really, really good one to go in and check out or whatever. But you can watch all the episodes on Hulu. You said you watched the college years, right?
I watched them, like, I didn't watch them as much as I watched, like, the original show. But, like, I do remember watching it fairly regularly. They had, like, there was a couple of new characters. There was, like, I can't remember her name, but, like, a girl that was going to school with him. She had really, really long blonde hair. They were living in, like, I want to say their dorm was like a co-ed dorm, and it was like a suite where they had like individual rooms with like a communal kitchen area. Right. And there was like a much older guy who was like the RA on the hall that would come in and like make sure they were, you know, doing what they were supposed to do. And, you know, Kelly and Zach were just fawning all over each other all the time. I don't remember them going to classes.
Yeah, no, from the little bit, and my knowledge of the college years is very, very spotty because I would like catch an episode every now and then, but I didn't really watch it. I just wasn't into it like I was into the regular or like the original series, excuse me.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely remember the older RA guy. I feel like,
and I don't think everybody
a professor at some point. Was it Kelly?
It might have, it sounds like Kelly, because I don't think everybody from like the high school series was on the college years.
No.
Like, I know Zach and Kelly were there because obviously you have to have them. And I think Slater and Jesse were there, but I don't remember seeing Screech on the college years.
I feel like he was there.
Hmm.
Maybe?
Possible. We'll see. Hold on.
I don't know. But, like, I just really didn't get into him like that. So, and then, like,
it was definitely
the
weird.
New class of Saved by the Bell, I didn't like it.
Oh, no. No. Yeah. No new class.
I couldn't vibe with that. You know, people talk about a reboot.
No.
I just don't know what you're rebooting.
No, we don't need to do that.
What are you rebooting?
Why?
Like, I guess I could maybe see, if you were going to do anything, maybe doing like a anniversary movie or episode or something like that, where you just come back in and like check in on these characters and see where their lives have gone. Like, I could see them doing something like that next year for like the 30th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you rebooting?
For,
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing revolves around them being students and classmates and stuff like that. And I just don't see where that really translates into them being adults. I mean, so they all live in the same area. I mean, I would assume that people have moved to different areas and moved on with their lives and are doing
right. And
things.
Like,
so I'm not really
families
sure
and things of that nature.
Right.
Actually, Kelly was the only girl. Screech was on the show, but Kelly was the only girl that was still on the show when they did the college years.
Okay, yeah, because I didn't remember seeing Jesse there, and I knew that Lisa wasn't there.
Yeah. But yeah, like, we don't need to reboot Saved by the Bell. Like, it's on Hulu. Go watch those. Right. I would love to have some type of reunion to where, like, you could see everybody, grown up with kids. Have Kelly and Zach made it? Are there still, like, hijinks going on? I'm fairly certain that, like, if Zach had a kid, his son would be just like him. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
see, I wouldn't mind seeing something like that in a movie. You know, yeah. And I guess maybe that's where they're going with the reboot. I mean, maybe they could be going that way where they are focusing on, like, Zach's kids or something, Zach and Kelly's kids or something like that. I don't know. I mean, because that's kind of what they did with Boy Meets World when they came back with Girl Meets World.
Right.
It was where they focused like on, daughter. You know, Topanga and Corey's daughter. And that actually was not bad. I watched it with my kids or whatever, and that wasn't bad at all. And I like that concept or whatever, like Corey being a teacher at the school and, you know, and all of that stuff or whatever. It was actually a really good idea. So maybe that's what they're going to do. But I still don't know.
I mean, I'm just not really a general fan of reboots. Just leave it where it is, and we can enjoy the hijinks on Hulu where it is, and that can be the end of it. But, like, I mean, it wouldn't be as fun if you couldn't go as far as, like, the original show went, and, like, you're not going to get away with half of that stuff, like, on TV now. Like, there's just no way. There's no way. Like, I don't want to see another person singing I'm So Excited badly.
Right.
While
did you
high
think
on
Zach
caffeine
was,
pills.
Did you think Zach was attractive?
I mean, yes, but, like, I wasn't attracted to him. I was more of an AC Slater fan, to be perfectly honest.
Me too.
Still am. But yeah, I was more about Slater and Jesse than Kelly and Zach, to be 100% honest. I just was never.
I didn't see why everybody was so into Kelly. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. She seemed like an okay person and everything like that. I mean, of course she was pretty and everything, but I always thought that Lisa and Jesse were prettier than she was.
Yeah. I mean, Jesse was like, not a diss to Kelly, but like Jesse was the smart girl and like, you know, in the books and just trying to make sure that, you know, she was the most successful person that she could be. And I appreciated that. And Kelly, it's not that Kelly wasn't successful or anything like that, but that just wasn't her focus. I didn't really understand what her focus was or if she had
right.
one. She was just kind of there.
No, she was just there to be pretty.
And yeah, like I've liked Kelly, and I liked Lisa, and I liked, you know, Jesse, but Jesse was probably, Jesse and Slater were my favorite, always have been, and always will be, and Screech, like, you could have written Screech off the show, and I wouldn't have cared, like,
right, yeah, I would have been fine. Screech, he was just there, and it's funny that you say that, because, like, I read an article, like, a couple weeks back, or whatever, about Saved by the Bell, when they first started talking about the thing they were doing at Saved by the Max. And they were saying that Screech was, like, the only character that was in, like, every single episode throughout the run, including everything. Yeah, so that's so funny. Because, I mean, he's there literally all the time. But sometimes, some episodes, it's so much crazy stuff going on that I forget that he's there, you know?
I mean, yeah, he was definitely, like, he didn't really, outside of, you know, him being, like,
the butt of people's jokes.
Yeah, the butt of people's jokes, the man behind some of, like, actually putting into place some of Zach's, you know, grand schemes and stuff like that, and, like, his lack of a love story with Lisa Turtle, like, there wasn't really anything going on. He didn't really have, like, his whole, like, a whole bunch of solo storylines or anything like that. It was just kind of,
right,
just there, like, just another person as a part of the cast. And again, you could have written him out of the show and I wouldn't have cared, because he was, like, the least interesting out of all of them. So yeah, but I was always an AC Slater fan. I almost Saved by the Bell Funkos, and they were on sale at one point, and forgot to get them because they were like $5 a piece, and you know those things are like $10-$12, and I didn't get them, and then they were all gone, and I was sad.
Aww.
But I really wanted an AC Slater pop. I did. They need to make some new ones.
Mario Lopez, he's so cute.
They need to make some new ones. They need to make them with, like, the regular outfits. And then, like, they need to make one with Zach with his old school phone. And they need to make one.
How did he have that phone?
I don't know.
Zach, people weren't even carrying cell phones around then. Like, how did he keep it charged?
It was huge. That's the only thing I remember.
Because that was, like, back in the day when you had, like, a phone, like, in a bag. Like, you carried it, like... Like, the charger-based thing was, like, in a bag. You had to, like, plug it up or something like that. Like, where was he keeping that phone at?
Who gave him a cell phone? Like, how?
Again, but they're worried about money. But Zach has a phone. Like, a cell phone that he talks on in class.
Yes. He does that a lot.
If you see a student pull out a cell phone in 1989, 1990, you're like...
And there's no way you can miss it. It's not like a tiny phone that, like, you can hide. It was huge.
The phone was bigger than his head.
It was.
It's the biggest freaking phone I've ever seen before. Like, just huge, a big white phone. And I'm like, I mean, if I'm a teacher, I'm like, where did you get that phone from? And how can you even afford a cell phone?
And why does your parents give you one? Like, what is wrong with you?
Right. And who are you talking to in the middle of the day?
Because nobody else has cell phones. Like.
Right. You just pop on the phone, be talking to people. Cutting deals and stuff like that, scheming, plotting. They did a lot of scheming and plotting to be pre-internet.
They did. They're like a master class in scheming and plotting sans internet. Like, I don't understand how they got half the things accomplished that they got accomplished, but they did it somehow, some way.
I mean, it's just, oh my god, I don't know, guys. You can talk about Saved by the Bell episodes all day, where they had the, like, the Marine Corps thing there, and they did, like, the obstacle course, like, in the hallway. And I'm like, y'all too cheap to go outside and do this obstacle course?
Yikes.
Who does obstacle course in this tiny hallway? The same hallway that we look at every single day.
The same hallway that Kelly and AC Slater wrecked the driver's ed car. In the hallway because they ran into the lockers and fell over. Why are you driving into school? Like, why are you driving inside the actual school?
Not only suspended, but just...
expelled.
Not only suspended, but just, I mean, just full on arrested. Like, you can't drive inside of a building without the cops showing up.
That hallway was not that big. Like, it wasn't a full-size car. It was like a...
It was like a golf cart.
Right. And they're just driving it around in the middle of a campus. And you're just like, why? Kelly got hurt? Or, like, it looked like Kelly got hurt. And so Kelly pretended to be hurt to get back at Zach or something like that. My goodness.
It was just so crazy. Like, I don't understand. Screech in his weird outfits. Slater in his parachute pants. I mean.
No, my favorite. Going back to pops, because I was going to say this too, they need to do a pop of AC Slater and the black leotard when he was dancing.
Oh, yes.
That was a fun episode when he had to learn how to dance. Was he dancing with Jesse, I think? Or something?
I think so. Yeah, he was vaguely, like, I remember that, like, this, I could see it in my mind, like, him dancing with the leotard on, but I vaguely, like, very vaguely remember what happened in that episode.
And he actually wasn't a bad dancer. Like, I do remember that part. Like, he was not an awful dancer. He was actually pretty decent. Wow. This show was wild.
Yeah, AC was kind of wild sometimes, too, though. I mean, he'd be saying some real sexist stuff.
Absolutely.
Which is crazy because he ended up with Jesse. And she's supposed to be like, you know, pro-woman, feminist or whatever, and stuff like that. And I'm like, how do you end up with Slater? Of all the people, like, who definitely be talking crazy about chicks all the time. Because he would always be making, like, you know, women belong in the kitchen, like, random, like, comments and stuff.
Calling people hot mama and stuff like that. And you're just like, shut up.
but who talks like that? Like, no teenage kid talks to other teenage kids like that. Like, I've never had a guy call me hot mama before.
Well,
that sounds like something your grandfather would say to somebody. Like,
right?
Not literally your grandfather, but a grandfather, I guess I should say, would say to somebody. Like, what is going on?
Just, there's just so many things wrong. And of course, you know, Slater and Zach were both, like, incredibly misogynistic at times. Like,
oh yeah,
they just, yeah, they were awful human beings.
I mean, well, especially Zach, because Zach is, I can't get over it. And, you know, this happened in more than, like, it wasn't just Saved by the Bell. Like, several shows have done this before, and it just, it really drives me crazy, where, how do you set somebody up, or, like, force somebody to go on a date with somebody else to, like, pay off some kind of debt, or, like, to right some wrong for you? Like, it happened on, I don't know if you remember or not, but there was an episode of The Fresh Prince where Queen Latifah was playing this actress.
And I guess she was
supposed to, she was supposed to be like, you know, like, so Queen and Will Smith are like around the same age, you know, in real life. And I think we all kind of know that. But she was supposed to be playing, like, she's playing this older, washed up actress or whatever. And like, Hillary's like her assistant and whatnot. And she basically like pushes up on Will and tells Hillary, like, yo, if you don't set me up on a date with your teenage cousin, I'm going to fire you. And I mean, when Hillary, like, proposes this to Will, I'm like, any normal person would have been like, no, I'm not going on a date with a grown woman. Will's, like, 16, 17, maybe. Right. Like, probably, I would give him 17, maybe.
He went along with it, though, didn't he?
And he went along with it. And then he's like, if I do it, then you've got to go on a date with Jess. And they did the double date. But still, I'm like, first of all, like, there's no way this lady could, actress or not, there's no way this lady could get away with this, like, legally. Like, you can't tell your assistant, set me up on a date with your underage cousin, or I'm going to fire you.
That, like, is no, lawsuit city. That is lawsuit like, city, I mean, and like, your bro, dad is a judge.
You're rich anyway, and your dad is a judge. Just quit and sue this woman. Like, who's going along with this dumb plan?
Just, like, there's been a lot of deep sighing on my end of the microphone today, and it's just like, you just realize that, like, man, what was I doing watching this show? The show was, like, not necessarily trash, but, like, some of these storylines were awful.
It was. It was crazy. The nerds all had, like, super nerdy names. They were, like, Nerdstrom.
Right.
Geek something. Like, I'm like, nobody's last name is Nerdstrom, guys. What are you doing? And, I mean, they literally put Tori Spelling on the show. And she's obviously a conventionally attractive person, and they put glasses on her and really wanted us to believe that she was a nerd.
I also remember that episode and was kind of, like, angry about it.
Glasses don't make people a nerd, guys. I have on glasses right now. Like, just because I put on glasses doesn't mean I turn into, like, some gross, weird, awkward nerd. Like, I'm literally the same person. I put them on so I can see letters clearly and see objects clearly. Like, right. You don't put glasses on and become a raging nerd. That's not how glasses work. And I don't understand why this is like a movie and TV thing.
And they don't always break in the middle to where you have to put tape on them. Like, that's not a thing that has to happen.
Right. Surely they had super glue or something like that. Like, I don't believe that all these people walk around taping their glasses. Did you ever go to school with anybody that taped their glasses?
Absolutely not.
Me either.
Why would I do that?
Like, even the people that would have been classified at my school as nerds, like, most of them didn't even wear glasses. Nobody wore their pants like, nobody dressed like Steve Urkel, guys. Like, nobody wore their pants, like, jacked all the way up and stuff. I mean, maybe some people did, but I don't think that that's, like, the general thing.
Right.
Like, this, so I don't understand where that whole thing about, you know, it, oh my God, we got to let you know they're a nerd. Or like the girl that they claimed that was like super tall. Like she was literally an inch or two taller than like Zach and them. And they acted like she was like 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Like you would have swore she was like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or something like that. And I'm like, dog, she's like 2 inches taller than you. She's not that tall. Or when they tried to convince Jesse that she were like, when Jesse was like convinced that she was like monstrously tall. And I'm like, you're the size of the average person.
Pretty much.
Literally. Like the only reason that you're tall is because like Lisa, literally Lark Voorhees and Tiffany Amber Thiessen are short people.
They really are short.
They're like my height. So, I mean, she's literally the size of an average person or whatever. But they wanted to convince us that like Jesse's like
an Amazon woman and she's not.
Right. Like, I mean, really, they act like she is Shaq. And I'm like, she's not that damn tall. What are you talking about?
A lot of it is the hair, to be honest. Because her hair was like super long and huge and all that jazz. She's not that tall. She's just like a regular looking person.
Oh my God. She had all the hair. Zach had perfect hair.
He did. Mark Paul Gosselaar still kind of has perfect hair, which is a little freaky.
Mark Paul Gosselaar is a good looking man.
Yes.
Still, to this day.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. And Mario Lopez, again, still looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if he's got any work done or anything. Not going to speculate. But he still looks like he did back then. Like, how? How is that possible?
He does. He looks great. I mean, like you said, most of everybody pretty much, Lisa looks different, but pretty much everybody else looks the same. I mean, even Dustin Diamond, I mean, he doesn't look bad. Like, you know, he doesn't look like he's like strung out or, you know, anything like that or whatever.
Right.
He just, he's just weird.
But, you know, some things never change.
Oh, and he had the whole, you know, tape situation going on and all of that stuff, and I'm like,
oh yeah, I remember all of that garbage too.
Oh boy. Well, do you have anything else that you want to add to the Saved by the Bell conversation?
No, I think we've about covered it. I'm fairly certain that people are gonna get sick of our massive amounts of giggling at how ridiculous this show is.
I can't, but, it's the spaghetti sauce. I was good until I got to that. Once I got past the spaghetti sauce, it was downhill from there.
All downhill.
Him selling spaghetti sauce in the hallway. Just,
there's no way that this works in real life.
That takes the cake for me. Just too much. Well, if you guys have anything that you want to add on, of course, always shoot us an email, nostalgiamixpod@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Instagram @NostalgiaMixPod. We'd love to hear what your favorite episodes of Saved by the Bell are and what episodes you think were the craziest ones, which you could pretty much name any episode and it would be the craziest one, because I don't think there was really a serious episode in this entire series except for maybe when they graduated. Maybe. So let us know. #NostalgiaMixPod. Talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. Again, just reminding you that we are on a bi-weekly format, so we'll be back in a couple of weeks. I'll be dropping some more hints about the Bobby Brown live tweet and everything like that, but we definitely want to talk about Saved by the Bell for you guys. And thanks for the people that have already interacted with us on Twitter. I became privy
from one of our
followers. Yeah, I know. One of our followers sent us a nice little article today about how Kevin from Home Alone is there's a theory or something like that going around saying that he is actually the Saul guy. So
I did see that.
That was very weird and creepy, and I read it and it made a little bit too much sense. I kind of got freaked out a little bit. So thank you for sending that over. I don't know what his real name is, but he goes by Pose on Twitter. I know he's got his own podcast thing going on or whatever, but thank you for sending that over to us.
Oh, that's Ryan. That's a friend of mine. His name is Ryan.
Oh, okay, you know, okay.
Yeah. And then somebody else sent us a thing about when I mentioned Saint Elsewhere on the last show and how it was like, you know, this creepy thing where it turned into a snow globe and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
Dave.
Apparently, like,
yeah, I love Dave. He's so sweet.
I went and Googled it. It's funny that, like, these are our friends. Basically, like, it's this bigger universe and how, like, all these different characters from other shows, like, appeared on Saint Elsewhere, like John Munch from Law and Order SVU, but he, like, that guy that plays Munch on SVU has played John Munch on, like, five other TV shows. And, like, it basically just kind of devolved into, like, how all these other people from different shows ended up on St. Elsewhere. And so, oh, wow. Like, crazy. How all those shows that are connected to St. Elsewhere with people that have been on, like, multiple shows and stuff like that are all still a part of this kid, like, this kid's brain. And, like, it's all one big expanded universe in this kid's brain because that's what St. Elsewhere was. And I Googled an article about it and was just like, mm-hmm. Oh, my God, my brain hurts. I'm done for the rest of the day.
Yeah, you know, it's been crazy because on Go Bayside, same thing. She's had a couple of guests up there that talked about, like, Saved by the Bell, like, random theories and stuff like that. And one of them is pretty much that Zach is just, like, completely nuts and he's making this whole thing. He made the whole thing up in his head, which kind of makes sense because when you think about it, like, how Zach kind of manipulates all these situations and never really gets any, like, consequences behind it. And then also with him, like, being able to freeze time and do all of this stuff, like, when you really think about it, it's like, is this all in Zach's head? Like, is Zach just some kind of just, like, really nutty person that has, like, imagined this whole world in his head?
I can totally see it.
I can see that. She had a couple of other good ones up there. I can't think of them, but that was the one that, like, totally made sense to me when I heard it, because I'm like, yeah, I mean, especially when you think about the freezing time thing, like, which is just so bizarre to me overall. Aww. Between him freezing time and that telephone, and pimping out his friends. I just, what are you doing?
There? Always pimping out his friends. Like, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of Zach Morris again. Like, I can't. I can't right now. I think I'm done.
Well, hit us up, guys. Let us know what you like about Saved by the Bell. Was it something that you watched? When did you watch it? Were you a TBS watcher like I was, where it used to come on in the morning when I used to get ready for school, or it used to come on in the afternoon when you got home from school? What's your favorite characters from the show? What episodes did you like? What'd you find funny? What are kind of some of those classic things you think about when you think about Saved by the Bell? Is it a Jesse Song episode, or do you think about the prom episode, or where they went to the prom and Kelly couldn't go because her dad lost his job because world peace broke out, and other weird things like that? So hit us up and let us know. And we will talk to you guys next time.
Bye. Have a great week. Well, bye. Weeks, guys. Deuces.